The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Okay, good morning. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. If you want to jump into the chat room and join us, you can go to kcnr1460.com or give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is Friday, the 18th of September, and yes, this is Trish. It's not Thursday, it's Friday. But I'm still here, and Carl and Linda, if you've been following them on Facebook, out having a well-deserved vacation, doing all kinds of fun things. But we're filling in ably here this morning, and Eric is at the board this morning, and we're going to, we've decided this is sort of like the blind leading the blind, but we're going to make it through, and we're going to get it all in, and so happy that you've joined us this morning. It's 62 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high of 89 today. We've had our little reprieve of the cooler weather, and it's heading right back up into warm and sunny. So we're looking for a high today of 89, tonight around 63. Sunny on Saturday with a high near 95. Clear with a low around 65 Saturday night. Sunday about 90, and then cooling just a bit as we go into next week. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Locally owned and operated, they give veterans and senior discounts, and you can give them a call at 365-3793. So, first thing this morning, as always on Friday, we are joined by Spencer from Haven Humane and the Pet of the Week, Gibraltar.
Good morning.
Good morning. That's a big kitty.
Yes, he is. This morning I brought with me Gibraltar, who is a 5-year-old domestic short hair. He's a little bit on the plump side. Gibraltar weighs in at 28 pounds.
He's huge.
He is huge. He came to our shelter because, unfortunately, his owner passed away.
Oh.
So he's now looking for a new forever home. Gibraltar is an amazing cat. He had a bath yesterday from our groomers, and he just kind of melted in the water. He just sat there and enjoyed it.
That's unusual for a cat.
It is.
They don't like baths.
You know, and Gibraltar's just a really good cat all the way around. He doesn't mind other cats. He doesn't mind dogs. He's a huge cuddle bug. He was just holding on to me with his arm and putting his head snuggling into me, and he looks up at you with his beautiful greenish eyes. And I mean, this cat just has a ton of personality. We do have him on a diet because, of course, 28 pounds is not a healthy weight for a cat.
He's a big cat, but he needs to be cut down on his food.
He needs to lose about 10 pounds. So we do have him on a diet. He went over and saw our vet yesterday, and at this time, she did give him a clean bill of health. However, it is very important that whoever adopts him does maintain his diet, because with the larger cats like this, they can develop health-related problems because of their weight. So they can get health-related issues such as diabetes, they can have seizures, you know, other things like that. Like I said, he's healthy at this time because he's still young enough to kick all that extra weight and still be a happy, healthy kitty. But if he continues to gain weight, his health will start to decline.
And that's easy enough. And I remember from having pets in the last, I always thought it would... I wish somebody could, you know, if we had Labradors or something and we decide they're a little heavy, you could cut down their weight easily, just cut them back a half a cup of their food. I used to say I wish somebody could cut me back a half a cup. It'd be that easy.
Yeah, and that's what we've done. We actually have him on a special low-calorie food that we do recommend him to continue. And we have cut back the amount that he gets every day, too. Because, you know, it's kind of like people. Even if you're on a low-calorie diet, if you overeat, it's doing you no good.
I know. It's you know, you sit down at night and think, well, I'll just have a little healthy snack and 400 calories later of healthy food, it's still 400 calories at 10 o'clock at night.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, Gibraltar is a great kitty, and I just hope that today is his day that he can find a forever home, because he's ready to go to a new home today.
Well, he's just laying there so nice, and he's a pretty kitty. He just very calm and connecting with you in a great way there. Somebody needs to take Gibraltar home and keep him healthy.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks so much, Spencer, for coming in.
Thank you for having us. So if anybody had any questions, they could call the shelter at 241-1653, or you could stop by today between 11 and 5.
And remind everybody where Haven Humane is. We all think everybody knows, but they don't.
So we're right off of 273, just south of Wind River Casino. Our address is 7449 East Side Road, and Gibraltar would love to meet you today.
Okay, give us the phone number one more time, Spencer.
241-1653.
Okay, y'all need to come down, and this is just such a nice kitty. He needs to be taken home today, so let's see if we can do that.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yesterday, at the end of the show, I had a call from Billy Bob, and he caught me because I hadn't watched the debates the night before, and he said he wanted my take on the Republican debate. So I had recorded them and I watched them, and so I'm going to let you know now what, for those of you who care, what my take on the Republican debates were. First off, I have to recognize that when you go to CNN, I'm probably not going to like the way they're going to present it. The audience they've collected, they're kind of there to set up any Republican, and that's going to be the format. And I hated the format. I hated that he said, she said, what are you going to answer to that? And that whole first hour or what have you was really irritating me. And it was set up to make them look bad and yell at each other. And I have to admit that I didn't think they fell into it as much as I expected them to. I think I'm in the process of eliminating right now. There's some of them that there's just absolutely no way I could go for. Right at the top of that list is Chris Christie. He can sit there and tell me, boy, you know, all the bad things Obama did now, but I still have a mental picture of Chris Christie hugging him and telling him what a great guy he is and then throwing his support behind him, in the last election. So Chris Christie is off my list. Rand Paul, there's so many good things about him, but he's not on my list either. The governor, Kasich, I can't warm up to him either very much. And Jeb Bush, for me, is the person that is picked, by the establishment to be my next Republican candidate, and I'm not going for it. The other thing that I really don't like about Chris Christie is his take on Social Security. He's got that right in there with welfare and benefits and entitlements and you know, all that kind of stuff that gives a bad taste to everybody's mouth. And I'm just saying that Social Security, as it was intended for people and those that should be collecting it, should not be included. Okay, so having said that, I don't think Donald Trump hurt himself or helped himself. I just kind of think he was there. And didn't do anything flamboyantly bad. But didn't make a lot of points either. Ben Carson, I continue to like a lot. But he just, I don't know. He's got a place, but I don't see it as president, even though I like him a lot. Carly Fiorina, she comes on really strong. In fact, I think she came on just a bit too strong last night. She bordered on just being almost a little rude in her interruptions, but she's sharp and she's got, I continue to watch her and want to learn more about her. Scott Walker, I just like him, and he doesn't shine too much, but I still continue to like him. Who haven't I talked about? Well, I go right back to my choice. Marco Rubio, it continues to be a star. He has a few issues that pop up from the past, but I'm continuing to watch him. But I got to say, my favorite continues to be Ted Cruz. He has proven that he's got the stamina to do what he says he'll do after he's elected. He's gotten on the Senate floor. He's ever since he's been elected. The man has done exactly what he said he was going to do when he was running for office. And he's bright. He knows that Constitution. He knows our government. He doesn't have the charisma that a lot of my friends wish he had. And I know I have one friend I talk politics with who just can't get there with me with Ted Cruz. But that was my take on it. And I think he helped himself, but not as much as he could have. 11 people on the stage with a kind of a liberal bent to the whole thing, trying to make him look bad, is a tough scene. So with that, I'm going to take a break and we're going to pay some bills.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Sleep Number. Every night you go to sleep, but do you really know how well you're sleeping? Now, new Sleep Number research shows people with Sleep Number beds who use Sleep IQ technology experience improved sleep quality and more restful time in bed. Now, all Sleep Number beds are available with Sleep IQ technology, so you can experience the best sleep of your life and prove it. If you'd like more information, why don't you go check out Sleep Number down on Churn Creek, 1315 Churn Creek Road, or give them a call, 223-2300. Also, this portion of the show is brought to you by View 202, the only restaurant on the river for every Sunday brunch. Fun drinks like the mimosa and a yummy new menu courtesy of executive chef Dustin Hessler. Call View 202 at 226-8439 for reservations today at this great event. Is sure to be sold out. This is KCNR 1460. We'll be right back.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your delivery. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchard. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Turtle Bay's 9th annual fall plant sale is Saturday, September 26th. Beauty doesn't have to be thirsty. Rethink your garden. Talk with plant experts and shop for drought-tolerant plants, California natives, hard-to-find perennials, grasses, shrubs, trees, and more. On September 26th, Turtle Bay members will get a 30% discount and 20% for non-members. Plus, free gardening advice will be available throughout the day. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
Tensions are high and anticipation is building for the 26th annual Ducky Derby presented by Reading East Rotary. In fact, some ducks are already out there training. Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. Everyone wins and you could be the winner of a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina.
We've got to be ready for September 27th at 1:30 for the big dock.
Plus, second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance.
See you there September 27th at 1:30 p.m.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio, community radio for the North State, KCNR 1460 AM. Give us a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com if you'd like to join in on the conversation this morning. And I'm joined now by my guest for the rest of the hour, Chief Mike Johnson from the City of Anderson.
Good morning.
How are you, Mike?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, we got lots of stuff to talk about police stuff down in the City of Anderson.
Okay.
The first thing that I know everybody's interested in is the program that got started down there recently with someone from the community, Mike Hubert, who has donated a little toy for you to use. More than a toy, a drone.
Yes, that is pretty exciting. And just for clarification, it's his drone, and he has volunteered to use it to assist us whenever we request.
Okay.
So I'd like to him to donate the drone to me. That would be awesome, but more than happy and a gracious offer by him. And we've already used it on a couple occasions.
So tell us about how it works. And, you know, the drones... I always refer back to the first time I was kind of around a situation with drones, and we were having a rally, a bell rally, a church rally up at the chapel up in and Anselmo's, and there was some people who were using the property up there to demonstrate or to test their drones and do some studies and stuff for, and I've forgotten all the details. But anyway, they were legitimately there and they weren't doing anything. But while we've got this huge crowd out around the chapel up there, this drone comes over. And people's reaction was incredible.
It really is, yeah.
They were hiding their faces. They were very offended by the whole thing. And Carl Bott was the MC. And he was trying to explain that, no, it was a friendly drone. And
right.
We knew it was there. And they weren't spying. Of course, this was they were protesting something about the chapel and the treatment of the county. It was a wild scene. So drones are not something that just come into the community unnoticed and without fanfare. So tell us everything you're doing with it and why it's not a problem.
Highly controversial, that's for sure, Trish, and certainly with some good cause on some ends. You know, the biggest challenge with them is privacy issues, and people are apprehensive about drones flying their property, particularly residents, private residents who have wives or teenage daughters or something. They're apprehensive about a drone coming flying over into their backyard when maybe people are laying out or sunbathing or whatever it may be. And we certainly understand those concerns. I do, for sure. So the kind of new area, groundbreaking area with drones and police work, because there is limited legislation on it so far and really limited licensing. I've been working with our local airport and FAA out of Sacramento, and we are going to be hopefully one of the first licensed police agencies to actually use the drone for planned operations. Now, when we use the drone, it's not going to be, and here's what people are apprehensive about. We're not going to launch the drone and just go out and invade people's privacy looking for a reason to do some type of police work. We will use the drone, as we have already, for very specific operations. For instance, we've used it once where there's been a fleeing felon that's taken off on foot into the Greenbelt area to evade law enforcement. So you can launch the drone and go search for this individual and try to get a location on him or her, wherever they may be. And it's an officer safety thing, especially if you've got an armed person.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we've used it for is when we've gone out and done transient homeless operations on a Greenbelt area of private properties where we have consent from the owner of the property. And we'll fly the drone and figure out where these areas are back in there so we know and don't waste our time going out just walking through the woods aimlessly looking for things. And plus, it gives us an idea of how many people may be in a camp, what type of obstacles and officer safety things we may come up against for there.
Yeah, good idea.
So they're really planned uses of the drone, and it's really for operational safety and efficiency for the agency, not just launch the drone and hope we find something and invade people's privacy. We have no intentions of using it in such a manner.
Well, as you indicate, this is kind of a new thing, so there's going to have to be very careful a thought process and legislation written to allow certain things and maintain the privacy of the individuals and the citizens without invading that.
Certainly, and you know, when we will want to use it for something specific where maybe we're working a case on a house or a property or something, we will, I'm sure, look to do a search warrant and have legal grounds to launch that drone and have a specific area designated that we want to look at. And one thing we should clarify, that when people hear the word drone, a lot of times there's some misperceptions about what we're talking about. Drones are used for a lot of different reasons these days, and a lot of hobbyists have them, as Mike Hubert, the one who's offered it to us. We're talking about a little, 2-foot by 2-foot machine here that flies up and has outstanding video quality, high resolution, high def resolution for us. Takes great pictures. They use them in weddings, as you were talking about over in El Salmo, that the type of thing where they'll go up and just kind of survey and take pictures. It's no different, really, than a helicopter would be flying up there with a super magnifying glass or a lens to take pictures. It's just it's new technology. It makes people uncomfortable. It's kind of the futuristic type of deal. Drones can be operated below 400 feet, or have to be operated below 400 feet within a airport radius, and that's part of the big deal that I'm trying to navigate around with,
yeah,
being able to fly it. And
because we're right at the airport, we're right in the flight pattern of,
exactly,
of the Reading Municipal Airport.
So. Got myself in a little bit of trouble by launching that initially here and not knowing the ins and outs. But I got to tell you, our local airport and Sacramento have been more than accommodating and helping me through it and figuring out what is legal and what's not and how to get licensed. So it's going to be an interesting venture here.
You know, and I think it's as you indicated, it's new technology, so people get nervous, and they can get over that nervousness really, really quick, because as you indicate, the helicopters with the magnifying things. I mean, look your address up on Google, ladies and gentlemen, and take a look at the picture, and they'll say, oh, well, they only do that every so often. Because I have a recreational vehicle parked in my driveway that I move occasionally, I can tell you that they do it really often.
Right.
Because one time I'll look and my RV will be there, and within a short time I'll look again and my RV isn't there.
Right.
So I'm either on a trip or what have you. So it's going back and forth a lot, and yeah, that technology is new, but for the drones. But they already know pretty much about everything they can see from the sky.
Well, a lot of it is people have this mistrust of government. And
as they, well, they should have.
Yeah, well, okay, yes, and sometimes they should. I agree. So looks like we've got a call.
We do have a call, and we're going to go to the phone and talk to Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. You know, Chief, the thing about drone operations as it relates to pilots is we certainly don't want to fly into them. And the bit of information you just gave about drones can fly within 400 feet of the surface in the airport area, that's actually not correct. The Reading Airport traffic area covers a radius of 5 miles from the center of the airport, and the tower controls the airspace from the ground up to 2,500 feet, AGL.
Yeah, Paul, I didn't mean to make it sound like you can legally operate a drone under 400 feet in that radius. I know that you can't. So if that came out that way, my apologies. I didn't relate it correctly.
Yeah, that's what you said. It's actually 400 feet outside a 5-mile radius of not just the Reading Airport, but the Benton Airport and any other airport, whether it's private or public.
Yes, I'm sorry. I did not come across right in the way you explained that.
Yeah.
They have very clearly.
And of course, my question for you would be, given the fact that pretty much most of the city of Anderson lies within the airport traffic area, you're required not only contact the airport management, but contact the tower just prior to your operation.
That's correct.
My understanding from the airport tower folks is they're going to want radio contact. How are you guys going to manage that?
Well, we're trying to work out all those processes right now, and they have made all that very clear to me. And we are not launching the drone at all in any more operations until we get the licensing and we get all of those details cleared out. We will have to pre-plan operations with them. We'll have to give them operational plans before we launch ahead of time and
right,
work out all those details. And we won't fly it even close to 400 feet, Paul. We've already I've already related to them that 100 feet would be about the cap, realistically more like 70 feet. And the private airplanes and small aircraft especially have made it very clear of the dangers that these drones pose to them, or you as a pilot. And also, along those lines, that's the reason for the legislation about flying a drone around a fire, which is absolutely illegal.
Now, Chief, the last thing I can think of is that the airport traffic area is in effect daily between 6:30 in the morning and 9 o'clock. How are you guys going to announce your drone operations if you fly outside of tower hours?
Don't know the answer to that yet, Paul.
Okay. I can tell you as a pilot, if I were flying at night and coming into or out of the Reading Airport, anybody who's active in the airport traffic area, you expect an announcement. So as a pilot, I certainly would want to hear the police come on the radio and say, you know, attention all aircraft in the Reading Airport, police drone operations, at so many miles, in this particular location.
Okay, great. Well, that's another area I'll cover with them.
Good input, Paul, and thank you for calling in.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Fire Instruction. Ted Lighty and his team of professional NRI instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Hi, it's Linda Bott and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
And welcome back. We're talking drones with Police Chief Mike Johnson from the city of Anderson. If you'd like to join in our conversation, jump in the phone lines at, or the chat room at KCNR1460.com, or give us a call at 605-4567. This is Trish Clark this morning. And yes, it is Friday. I know, but it's not Thursday, but I'm still here. So we have another phone call. We're going to go on the phones now. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. I'd like to deviate just a little bit from the drone topic and ask Officer Paletti about what he thinks.
This is not Officer Paletti. This is Chief Mike Johnson from the city of Anderson.
I mean Chief Mike Johnson, about what he thinks about the app that people have that can locate and tell other people where the police are, because I know the Highway Patrol is concerned about that. Does he know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, Jimmy, and I am very concerned about it as well. It poses a serious officer safety problem for the law-abiding citizens and people who are just generally interested in what's going on with the police. Obviously, it's not who we're talking about here, but there's some real bad people out there, organized crime and gangs and outlaw motorcycle gangs, all sorts of highly intelligent organized crime agencies that I fear are going to use that app for no good.
Okay. Well, I got kind of an idea of how to maybe thwart that.
Let's hear it.
Why don't you have somebody with that app go around town or wherever and just punch in a bunch of spots randomly, so people will think there's police there, but there really isn't, so it'll really throw a monkey wrench in that thing. I mean, you could go around town and punch in, there's a police officer on every block, and it would really confuse them.
Well, that's not a bad idea. I'd have to have somebody to do that regularly, but I'm sure I could use volunteers or something to do such a thing. That's a really good idea, Jimmy.
And I thought I heard this and that you might be able to spread the word and do that, because it would really, confuse whoever might have bad intentions.
I like it.
You like it? All right.
That sounds like a great idea. If you had, as an example, your Citizens Patrol people, just on a regular basis, every day, punch in at a different place, have a quadri of 20, 30 people throughout the community that just punch in a place every often.
Yeah, you could flood a town, and they think there was a police officer on every block. Anyways, I thought I'd throw that at you, and if you would, could you spread the word throughout the country about that?
Absolutely. I actually like the idea, Jimmy. Thanks for the call.
All right, you bet. Bye.
Thanks for calling in. Okay, so we've kind of done the drone thing pretty good, and I think there's still a lot of interest, and I certainly understand the pilots out there concerned.
Trisha. They have a legitimate concern, because we certainly don't want to interfere with operations for them or pose any type of danger for them, and it is a real danger for them.
Oh, absolutely, as the airspace, as he indicated, the gentleman that called, the city of Anderson is totally in the airspace of the Reading Municipal Airport.
Believe me, I'm well aware of that now.
Yeah, it is, and I know that they've even had some issues with the miniature aircraft thing over at the park and
yes,
different places.
Where the hobbyists fly, yes, yeah. It's true.
Yeah, so, but be assured that we're well aware of that down in the city of Anderson, and going to take all the necessary steps that we have to take to make sure that not only the drone is doing the job that we want it to do, but that the pilot safety and the community safety is and privacy.
Yeah, and just one more time, Trish, I'd like to warn any of the hobbyists that have these smaller drones and fly them. They are very serious about the new legislation about launching those things around a fire, whether it be a wildland fire or a residential fire. You launch those, they're no longer just going to go after you administratively. They're going to go after you criminally and take you to jail and impose some heavy fines for that. So if you own a drone, as a hobbyist, I caution you, do not launch that thing if there is a fire anywhere in a particular perimeter of that fire. And I don't know what those boundaries are, but they will prosecute you criminally.
As well they should. That's what my husband did for a living for many, many years, a lead plane pilot and a tanker pilot. And there's some low aerial flying going on around fires and helicopters and dropping smoke jumpers. There's all kinds of action up there. The last thing they need is somebody up there doing a looky-loo with a drone.
Right, and certainly for the private pilots as well, as Paul indicated, you know, be aware of your airport and your radius on where you should and shouldn't operate those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. I think that we've kind of covered that. Let's jump to another subject real quick. We've got a few minutes before a break. And let's talk about the canine arrow. Everybody was so sad because we got a new canine, and now he's sick.
Tragic, yes. Very tragic with Arrow. Canine Arrow came down with some disease that at first was unknown to us, and we had him looked at several vets locally, including the vets at UC Davis, just trying to diagnose what was going on with Arrow. We first started noticing that he was losing muscle mass in his orbital areas and his jaw, and his bite was becoming less pressure and prolonged. So we had the concerns, and then you could see muscle degeneration along his spine. They had a host of things they thought was wrong with him. He was misdiagnosed several times, which is the case with humans, too, sometimes when you don't know what you're dealing with. And finally, a laboratory, and I apologize, I don't remember the name of the laboratory, but there's only two of them, I think, in the United States. One's out of Texas, and there was a representative here locally in Reading, caught wind of what was going on. He stepped up and offered to do the DNA blood testing for the dog, and they did it, which was about a $6,000 test they donated.
Wow.
And they determined that the dog has, I think, 8 different blood-borne pathogen strains going on in his body that are centered in Afghanistan and or Cambodia. So he's on a health regimen plan now from UC Davis, and he is definitely getting better. I don't think he's going to regenerate any of that lost muscle. But it's definitely, he was on the path to demise, and now at least I think he's going to make it, just not, may or may not ever come back to police work again.
Wow, what a strange story. And you did indicate to me earlier that the dog actually came from that area, was trained overseas.
Yes, overseas. Yeah. He came from Europe. He was a titled dog that came from Europe.
Yeah, because the first thing I asked him was if we'd captured someone from that area in this area, and perhaps the dog had been infected that way.
Yeah, and it's possible. It could have been from something he's carried and is just now generating and or expressing itself in the disease, or it could have been from what the vet said. They can pick it up from searching military guys' stuff because they carry those diseases back with them, sometime on their clothing, their bags, or their gear, or whatever.
Wow. Opens up a whole nother conversation, doesn't it?
The response, Trish, from the public has just been phenomenal for Arrow. We opened up a GoFundMe account, and people, thank you all, public, for contributing to that and helping out, because, as you know, the police department had to retire the dog. The handler is incurring most of the bills on his own now. I mean, we're still picking up some, but I can't pick them up all now anymore because he's not property of the police department anymore. So that GoFundMe account, people have poured money into it to help him, and we're using every bit of that money to pay for his bills and keep the dog alive.
Well, that's just great. And there's another dog on. We're going to be getting another one?
Yes, we are. We have another dog already on that just hit the street, but we're going to replace Arrow, too. So we've already picked another handler. We're not punishing the handler, Arrow's handler, who is Officer Mike Halligan. He has just been assigned out to the Drug Task Force now, so we're going to give another guy an opportunity to be a handler. We've already picked that new handler. That's Eric Haynes, and we will be getting another dog. The company, VCSI, Vigilant Canine Services International, is where we got Arrow. They have, without hesitation, offered to replace him for free. So we'll just have to train the new team and get them up and running.
And how long does that take?
Well, the training course itself with the dog and handler takes 5 to 6 weeks. But it's a lot longer process than that. I've got to select a dog. I've got to plan the training. You know, there's additional stuff that goes with that, more equipment, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal, the canines in our police officers. And once you get them, to have it cut short is kind of sad. But
it really is sad. I mean, you know what we went through to fundraise and get that dog and that handler going. And It was tragic. It's tough. It is really tough to see that happen. And he was one of those dogs. You know, you get those dogs that are just solid and hard to come by, and Arrow was one of those dogs. So it's been tough for us to take.
Yeah, but we're resilient, and we've got another handler picked up. So we'll move right along with it, and we do have one dog out there now. So that's good.
That is good.
All right, so we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, full-time jewelry store providing the full service and the finest selection of jewelry in Northern California. Go visit them at 2225 Hilltop Drive in Redding, or give them a call at 222-2750. We'll be right back.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are, always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with 3 locations to serve you, Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl, family helping family.
From the exquisite artistry of the Moscow Ballet's world-class Russian dancers to the phenomenon of Blue Man Group, the Reading Civic Auditorium is showcasing some serious wow. The 15-16 theatrical season gives stage to the critically acclaimed and includes a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to 3 or more shows. The season hails the Moscow Ballet's breathtaking return of the Great Russian Nutcracker the Friday evening after Thanksgiving. The festive Christmas fantasy continues with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas show and stunning debut of the Reading Civic's very own production of a favorite classic, Christmas Carol, A Love Story. 2016 soars to new heights with the pop culture phenomenon Flashdance the Musical. The devilishly enthralling theatrical production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, the wildly popular Blue Man Group, and astonishing family entertainment of Chris Morandi's Stunt Dog Experience. For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
Okay, and welcome back to the last segment of this hour with Chief Mike Johnson from the Anderson Police Department. It's 62 degrees. We're looking for a high of 89 today, and the weather is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Join us in the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. So let's talk now about the things that are rampant on everybody's mind, and this whole study that's come out in the city of at Reading about what do we do about public safety, and that doesn't just apply to the city of Reading, because the issues that are here in Reading are around throughout Shasta County, including the city of Anderson.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, and what they do with the jail, and what they do with what I always have to remind people is that this is a system. And we can put money into one police department or a jail or what have you, but if you don't put money into the rest of it, the system's still broke. You can have all the police officers in the world out there running around, arresting people, lost that word, and if you don't have a jail to put them in, you're in trouble. And once you put him in jail, if you don't have the district attorney's office and the probation department and the public defender's office and the courts, doesn't do any good to lock him up. So you gotta fund the whole system. City of Anderson and the impact of all this conversation on us.
Well, you know, Trish, as I've always said, we work together as a county. The greater good of the county is what is in everybody's interest here. So you're absolutely right when you talk about things in Anderson affect Redding and vice versa, and the county and Bernie and Shasta Lake City. All of the county is affected by Redding. Redding's your county seat and your hub. So definitely that safety plan that which I, you know, from reading the draft, I got to tell you, it doesn't look like much of a public safety plan to me. Looks more like a social service plan.
There you go.
And, yeah, we don't, you know, we have this phenomenon going on where we have crime that's out of control, property crime especially. And I know that that's arguable whether the statistics show that or not. And we won't get into that. That's a whole other topic in its own. But we've got felons that we're rearresting, you know, on a monthly basis several times, and they're not being held, and that's no fault of Sheriff Basenko or the jail. It's a fault of we don't have the bed space, we don't have the legislation, and we don't have the infrastructure to deal with them. And it's a community problem, and it's a big problem, and it's not going to get any better anytime real soon. But I can tell you that there is a lot of public safety leaders, a lot of community pillars, a lot of people who are interested and want their community back and want to make things better that are trying to come up with creative solutions to make that better. But I don't think building a homeless shelter or a day center and more public restrooms is going to solve our crime problem.
Boy, well said. And I think that we are surrounded. I run into it on a regular basis with people who want to make excuses for the population that's causing all those problems. And figure out another way to add something more to the pot to make them want to come here more regularly. And I just have to agree with you that we need to, in my mind, put out the message that if you don't want to make a better life and live a good life, then you don't want to come to Shasta County, because we're not going to make it easy for you.
Well, and that's the key, Trish, is, you know, the more services and the more comfortable you make it, the more they're going to be here, and you're going to have more problems. I had somebody pose an interesting question to me about this whole dilemma that we're talking about. And it was a local citizen, and he said, well, how about me? I'm the taxpayer. I'm the guy that works the daily job day in and day out and contributes. Doesn't seem like they're looking out for me. It seems like they're looking out for the people who I'm already having to support unwillingly. And it's a very good point.
Well, and you know, we even the people in the community that you wouldn't believe it, is there's this mindset that is permeated about all of this free stuff, and that somehow all of these things that happen, Sacramento or Obama or somebody is paying for them. And I've gotten to the point where I'm making myself pretty unpopular, because I remind them that they're getting a rebate for tearing out their lawn. And the state is going to give them X number of dollars per square foot for going drought tolerant. Well, excuse me, but I'm paying for that.
That's right.
He's digging up his lawn, and I'm paying him to do that because I'm a taxpayer. And the state doesn't have any money.
Isn't that a great concept?
Why don't people get that the state, the feds, Obama, the Governor Moonbeam, they don't have any money that they're giving out to anybody? It's coming out of the pockets of the taxpayers, whether it's federal or state or whether it's a grant. One of the comments I love, Larry Lees can tell you, no general fund impact. Give me a break. It's all my tax dollars, whether it's federal money, state money. So I've had my rant now, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I do believe that we have got to put some money. We did a bad thing way back, closing up all of our mental health institutions.
That is a huge problem.
And we've got to figure out a way to determine, diagnose, and put those people who seriously have mental health problems, we need to take care of them and get them off the streets, because they're certainly adding to this.
I certainly would have had a little more understanding if that public safety plan would have focused on something like that. Personally, I think they need we need more jail space. We need Reading needs more cops. Everybody needs more cops, but Reading, especially Reading in the county, maybe need a few more too. But mental health is non-existent here. We take these people for 72-hour detentions all the time that are out draining our resources, not just police, but fire as well, EMS, responding to these things constantly. Taxpayers, just like you said, are paying for it all. And these people are not getting treatment. All they're getting is a Band-Aid, which is usually about a 12 to 24-hour Band-Aid, and they're back out and wandering around causing problems, and dealing with them is just sucks our resources pretty thin.
Yeah, and I noticed something there that you talked about all those others, so let's hit real quickly. We've got just a few minutes left in this hour, and I want to talk about the half-cent sales tax that was passed in the city of Anderson for public safety, and that the rest of the community was completely and totally surprised that that did pass. You guys did it in a general thing, so you didn't have to have the 60 or the two-thirds vote.
Correct.
So what's happening with that money? That probably just barely started coming in, if it has come in.
Yeah, and you know what? You can cover that a little bit with the city manager, because I know we only have a few minutes, but I want to tell you, it's because of our city manager here that we were able to actually immediately put that money to work, even though it hadn't come in yet. We've added officers. We added another dog. We added a problem-oriented policing unit. We're adding a code enforcement officer. It's just we're expanded to volunteer patrol resources. We have done a lot with that money, and everything that the community, the citizens voted for that money to go for, that's been what it's been used for. So it's really made an impact in our community.
Oh, and there's no question about that, because, excuse me, I have a frog here. The corners of our streets, the people out there, they're just not there like they were.
No, and that's, again, Trish, that's because there's more personnel to deal with those things, and we're being very proactive and aggressive in our enforcement. And the reason we can do that is because the sales tax money has allowed us to allocate more resources.
And I know that you came up with some local little ordinances and things that gave you and your officers an ability, for lack of another term, to just hassle those people a little bit more and question them about their presence and do some things very proactively to convince them that Anderson probably wasn't where they wanted to be.
It's true. We did put in those ordinances, and that is what the scope was, is to, you know, people that legitimately need help, we get them help, and the people who legitimately need to move on, move on.
And it's very evident, I got to tell you. I get out of my car, I go into the stores, I just don't see that. When we were beginning to have the same kind of issues, you know, and we still have a few.
Well, yeah, we're not, by no means have we eliminated it all, and it's a constant cycle. It'll always be a battle, but it's not one that we're going to give up on, because we don't want to surrender our community.
Well, there you go. And I know that we have issues. As you all know, I'm at the Frontier Senior Center, and they have dances in the evenings down there. We still have some issues with some people who wander
sure.
in down there. I've asked my people to be cognizant of that. You get somebody in there that doesn't want to go away and is in there in the evening, pick up the phone and call the police department. That's what they're there for, and they will help you handle these situations. So I want to tell the people in Anderson, don't put up with it. Call the police department. That's what they're there for, and they will be they are responsive. That's the good part of it.
Well, Trish, maybe they're wandering in because they're looking for a dance partner.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The one lady told me that there was a lady in there one night. One of the ladies went in, and they heard the scream. She was in there taking a bath. Had all a bunch of bags of stuff around, and so, yeah, it gets to be interesting. And sometimes they just, you know, tell them they need to move on. This isn't the place to be, but, well.
Well, Trish, as departing comment, I just want to thank you for having me again, and thank our public for supporting the police department, the city of Anderson, and the county of Shasta. It's really incredible to see the involvement around here, and that how much people care about our communities here. And I think that's what makes it great up here. So hopefully nobody will give up, and we'll keep moving forward and figure out our problems and keep our community nice and our North State way of life.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike, for coming in. And I will tell you, I want to also give Carl and Linda Bott a shout-out because, you know, they started this radio station, and it really is an opportunity for the citizens to learn about all kinds of things all over this county, not just the city of Reading, but I certainly appreciate the opportunity when I get the chance to host the show to let the people in the South County know what's going on down there. And so I appreciate you guys all coming in. And there's a big population. Only half of the population lives in Reading, and the other half of the population in Shasta County is out among the rest of it. So I like to highlight some of the things that are going on. And today we're doing South County. So next hour, we'll be joined by the city manager from the city of Anderson, Jeff Keyser. We're going to take a break now, bring you the news, and we'll be back at the next hour.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour at townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. A friend of the white man accused of shooting 9 black churchgoers to death in South Carolina now faces federal charges. Court documents unsealed today say 21-year-old Joey Meek is charged with lying to federal agents during their investigation of Dylan Roof and with concealing information. Croatia has closed 7 of its 8 road border crossings with Serbia following a huge influx of migrants.
Such is the pressure on the authorities here in Croatia that crowds of people are now wandering around Zagreb looking for transport, anything they can take north to the border. Remember, many of these people are the middle classes of Syria. We've seen people with pretty smart luggage, women with makeup and smart clothes, so they have cash in their pocket. In fact, our taxi driver who dropped us off here this morning, impatient to get rid of us so they could get the more lucrative fares to take these people north to Slovenia.
BBC correspondent Christian Fraser reporting from Zagreb, Croatia. Meanwhile, there is a border standoff between Croatia and Hungary. Croatia has sent buses full of migrants to Hungary just hours after Croatia's prime minister said it could no longer cope with the influx. But Hungarian police met the convoy of 19 buses in the border area and refused to let them in. 2 more bodies have been found in the burned ruins of homes in California, bringing the death toll to 5 from 2 of the most destructive wildfires in the state in recent memory. CAL FIRE spokesman Captain Jeff Roberts says protecting people is their first concern.
Our priorities are life and property. Property can be replaced and life cannot.
Both fires continued burning yesterday, but cooler weather and rain helped firefighters gain ground on the blazes that have destroyed more than 700 homes. Attorneys for former Taliban captive Bo Bergdahl will present their case today in San Antonio. Bergdahl is charged with desertion in Afghanistan. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I spend my days helping others. It's rewarding, just not always financially. So I got TIAA CREF. They were founded to help people like me meet our financial goals. They've got so many industry accolades, it's unreal. I like taking care of people. Sometimes that even includes myself.
Intelligent investing for the long term. Just what you'd expect from a company that's created to serve and built to perform. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA CREF Individual and Institutional Services LLC. This testimonial is an actual betrayal. Investing involves risk. Individual results will vary.
Everyone is talking about War Room.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my War Room.
Hi, this is Alex Kendrick, co-writer and director of War Room. Pray with us that God continues to use it to impact millions more for His glory.
War Room, starring Alex Kendrick, Priscilla Shirer, and T.C. Stallings.
You need to do your fighting in prayer.
War Room, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Tickets and showtimes at warroomthemovie.com.
An index of future U.S. economic health edged up slightly in August.
The Conference Board says its index of leading indicators inched up 0.1% following a flat reading in July and a 0.6% increase in June. The July reading had initially been reported as a 0.2% decline. Conference Board economists say the index is signaling that growth will be moderate through the rest of the 2015.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Unemployment rates fell in 29 states in August and held steady in 11 as hiring remains solid nationwide. The Labor Department says rates rose in the remaining 10 states. Employers added jobs in 32 states and shed them in 18. Job cuts continued in states with oil and gas drilling, as oil prices remain sharply lower compared with the prices of a year ago. And falling demand for coal has devastated West Virginia. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. The United Nations says 500,000 children have been forced to flee attacks by the Nigerian Islamist group Boko Haram in the past 5 months.
This coincides with a spike in Boko Haram attacks, not only in northeast Nigeria, but also across the borders in Cameroon, Niger and Chad. Thanks to a regional military offensive earlier this year, the jihadist group no longer controls swathes of territory, but the violence has not stopped and the humanitarian situation remains bleak. UNICEF says in northern Nigeria alone, 1.2 million children have been displaced and over half of them are under 5 years old. Getting help to these remote, insecure areas is extremely difficult.
BBC correspondent Will Ross reporting from Lagos, Nigeria. Pakistan's army says the Taliban has killed 16 people inside a mosque during a brazen morning attack on an airbase. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
About to commence.
And good morning. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. You can jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. And you're right, it's not Thursday, it's Friday, but I'm still here. This is Trish Clark and Carl and Linda are out enjoying a well-deserved vacation and sending back all kinds of pictures of fun things they're doing, making me very jealous that I'm not with them. But I've got an opportunity here to visit with all you in the North State, and I love doing that as well. So it's 65 degrees in Redding today. We're looking for a high of 89, a low this evening of about 62, and on Saturday we're looking for a high of 95, and then on Sunday about 96, and back down on Sunday, or the first of the week, heading back down just a bit cooling. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Locally owned and operated, they give veterans and senior discounts. You can give them a call at 365-3793. So now, Hope, Billy, Bob, you were listening in the first hour because you asked me to give you my take on the Republican debates, which I didn't watch, but I recorded them. I watched them last night. I gave that rundown. I hope you were listening. If you didn't, give me a call. Okay, so this hour, I'm joined by the city manager from the city of Anderson, Jeff Keyser. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm pleased to do that. I know that everybody knows that I come from Anderson, so when Carl gives me the microphone for a couple of days, I like to bring some what's happening down in the South County information to people. And you know, as we talked in the last hour with the police chief, what happens in Anderson impacts Redding. What happens in Redding impacts Anderson and the rest of the county. We all work together. That's why we make things work up here. So
you bet. I mean, we're a North State community.
Yes, we are. So what's happening in Anderson, Jeff?
Well, I think there's lots of great stuff. I think you and Chief hit on a little bit of the sales tax and the things we're doing with that, and we can talk a little bit about that. But let's talk business real quick because there is some exciting things going on.
All right, good.
If you've been down by Walmart, you see some construction going on there at the corner of Pleasant Hills and Highway 273. That is a future AMPM Arco and the long-awaited Dutch Bros. Also in there, we're even going to have a chicken shack. So,
all right.
Fantastic little development going on, and we're very happy to see that. And also, you know, know, more recently that's opened here recently is Tractor Supply, too. So brand new building in town, and very happy to see all those things in Anderson.
Absolutely, because every time you get one more business down in Anderson, that's something else to draw people in. You know, the surrounding places, then they don't always have to go to Redding for everything. And Cottonwood and Happy Valley and the South County people.
That's right.
They can
well,
shop.
We're becoming more and more of a full-service community.
Well, and there you go. So what kind of a great restaurant steakhouse have you got coming real soon?
Oh, boy, you and me both. That's probably one of the biggest desires of people out there, and have lots of conversations with people about it. But, you know, a restaurant's not easy. And so lots of people looking at it. We'll see if anybody can pull it off. But I think you will see some new restaurants coming to town in the next year or so with some of the other developments that are coming along.
And the last time I said that, I was reminded by somebody that we do have a good restaurant there. It's the Gaia Hotel. And,
yes,
and,
we do.
And so I sometimes forget that, but they do have a chef there that I hear is very good. And so that's a good place if you're down there and looking for a place to eat. Along with all, we've got some great restaurants. We just don't have a real nice dinner house, but I guess the Gaia would fill that bill.
I think the Gaia fills it, but there is a call for the family-style steakhouse, too.
Yeah.
And so I know there's some people looking at that, and we're very anxious to see that come back along, too.
Okay, so the other thing I want to talk about, though, is the new piece of property that we just annexed into the city of Anderson, and the long-awaited, that property was, you know, that's where all the mills used to be, and there was so much activity there for so many years, and then when we decided we no longer wanted to manage our forests and do anything with them, we decided we'd burn them down instead of marketing the wood, and we closed down all the mills and all that, those businesses and all those jobs, and we wonder why we have problems in Shasta County.
Amazing.
But now that property is been sold. It's been annexed into, or not sold, but been annexed into the city of Anderson. It's ready to happen. So what's happening there?
It is. So, you know, a couple of years ago, Roseburg Forest Products came to the city and said, hey, we'd like to annex our 285 acres, the mill site proper there, into the city of Anderson. The reason being is they want the city services that the city has, primarily sewer. And so we have capacity for that. And so we have worked on that process. Around the first of this year, that was all complete. So they are in the city limits. At the same time, though, since we were doing an annexation, we cleaned up some lines and took in the remainder of the I-5 frontage from the Deschutes area up towards Balls Ferry, the Safeway Center, if you will. And so the total annexation is about 385 acres, just under 400 acres. That is all now in the city limits, all very developable. And we're excited about that. Roseburg, specifically in their piece, it's been an industrial site before. The city has also completed a northbound off-ramp on I-5 with the, you know, it's kind of known as the roundabout, but really the off-ramp's what we needed there. So you have the I-5 transportation infrastructure in place. That property also has a rail spur. Those are hard to find on a piece of property
close
like that
to
in
an
California.
Airport.
Close to an airport. So it's all there. Plus it has the utilities, has the water, has the sewer. All the fiber optics and those kind of things you would need for a big industrial site, most of that always runs within the railroad right-of-way. So it's all right there, Trish. Just an exciting piece of property that really could be developed back as an industrial-type development, manufacturing, light manufacturing, lots of opportunity there. We're excited about that.
Well, and it's something to be excited about. It's a perfect example of how the city and the county can work together to provide services without getting in a big fight about everything and do an actual, real tax exchange agreement that works for everybody.
Yes, and that's probably a landmark part of what happened here is the city and the county did work out a tax share agreement, and really it came out, you know, one or two meetings in a room, people played together for the greater whole. As you talked about, we are a community, and so it's more than just Anderson, more than just Redding. It's the whole community playing well together, and really electeds and employees doing what they're hired to do.
Well, you know, and the city of Anderson and Shasta County have a history of doing that because that's not the first project where that was developed in the county. Things happened in the county, but with the thought process that eventually the city of Anderson would take it over.
Correct.
And so there was work and coordination going along. Ox Yoke was the first one.
You bet. Yeah.
And the city developed that, and the water system, or the county developed that, and the water systems and all of that. Always with the eye towards that eventually the city of Anderson would take that over, and at the time they did that, there was a tax exchange agreement where the county maintained a certain amount of the existing property or sales tax that was there and property tax, and a growth factor in the future. Right. So there was a tax exchange agreement there.
And it's important why people understand, because sometimes people get a little confused on, well, why doesn't the city get all that revenue? It's important to remember the county provides a lot of services for the whole, the jail. You know, we talked about mental health.
85% of what the Shasta County government does, they do for every citizen of Shasta.
But that's exactly true. And so it's important to remember that, because we do tend to forget that. And so that's why that tax exchange is so important, because those services the county provides still on, you know, they go on after the annexation happens. And so that's why it was just great to see everybody come together and make that move forward.
Every time I hear you say that, Jeff, I have to go, is he really a city guy? Because that's a real hard admission to get out of a city guy.
I've had lots of counseling on it, so I
we won't tell him how many times I hit you in the face with that. But it is an important consideration. And you know, it's just all about cooperation.
You bet.
It is.
You bet.
So, okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Does what no other windshield repair business can. Offers full guarantee from chips to cracks over 24 inches in length. Jeff Wurst can assist you. Call Jeff at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street in Reading. Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair will be right back.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us, we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your deliveries. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchard. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. U202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. U202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta Springwater come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta Springwater.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringwater.com.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Okay, welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State Free Fire Radio. If you got something you'd like to talk about, you'd like to get in on this discussion, give us a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. My guest this hour is City Manager Jeff Keyser from the City of Anderson. And we're just talking about things that are happening down in the South County. One of the things that is in discussion and been in the paper the last few days is raises for management, and that always makes a headline and
sure
jumps
did.
Off the page a couple of times. Set top centerfold, no problem. We can always throw that out there. So, but it's a no-brainer as the way I see it, and I don't think they're getting a lot of reaction, are they?
No, and maybe didn't quite tell the whole story in the paper. This is the same thing everybody else got. And so the council had come to agreement with the Teamsters Union, and then they did the same thing for the 10 management employees. And if you don't do that, then suddenly my rank and file is making more than my management, and there's got to be a reason to supervise. So they did the exact same thing, and, you know, that's about as fair and even as you can make it.
Well, and I think that's the exact point, is that they did it in the right manner, above board, made their agreements. They're not at loggerheads with their unions. They're not... You don't have a bunch of disgruntled employees out there saying, oh, God, here we go again. We're giving management raises and
I don't think you'd ever see management get a raise in Anderson without the other employees.
That has not been the history. That has not been the history. It's always been a pretty fair and open process. Here's the money.
Right.
You know, you can either have a raise or less employees, but you can't have both.
That's right. That's business.
and that's just exactly it. Okay, we do have a phone call. We're going to go to the phone, Billy Bob. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Good morning, Trish. Yes, I was listening to your take on the Republic. Not to interrupt your city
manager. No, that's all right.
There.
That's good.
But I did listen to you, and you were spot on. I thought you covered that as any of these high-paid pundits that wander around Washington with their heads cut off. So there are definitely a bunch of them that are out, definitely. And you hit them. Again, I've got Carly Farina, her big upswing and uptick, but she's got more baggage than Hillary Clinton almost. She walked off from Hewlett-Packard after ruining the company with $100 million in severance pay. And Barbara Boxer tore her up in that last Senate campaign. So, yeah, she's looking good, but, again, she's got too much baggage. And Rubio's good. I like Rubio. He will be an eventual candidate. I think he might even swing up. But, again, your take on it was great. Now, also, I'd like to comment on that property out there that you guys are just recently talking about, the big acreage that's been annexed. What a wonderful location. I mean, I-5 frontage. I used to build for lots of buildings, but I built for a developer out of San Diego. He was in motels, and he said, I do not even look at property unless it has I-5 frontage. So, again, with the possibility of motels, commercial, and also I must state that Costco is having more problems than they can imagine up there at that Oasis Road location. It's solid rock, number one. It's absolutely $4 to $1 on the construction costs. But anyway, I think if Anderson, with their lower impact fees, because again, that's another difference between Anderson and Redding, and I'm sure Anderson can outdo the extortion that City of Redding charges. And I'm all for Anderson getting Costco and put some more hotels in and get with it. So congratulations, Anderson. And also I wanted to mention how well-spoken your police chief is.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, what a brilliant man. And you guys got good people working for you, so... Carry on, and good take on that debate, Trish.
All right. Thanks, Billy Bob.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for calling. Okay, so that's good. I'm glad he was yesterday he kind of caught me because I just had something else I was doing the night of the debate, but I did record it, so I watched it last night because I knew I'd have to give my take on it this morning. So I think it's interesting, just to segue a little bit, I'm excited by the fact that the Republican Party has put forth some really good candidates this time. I think anybody that's out there on that slate is better than what we got. That's just my opinion. But we've got some real, you know, and I think that Donald Trump has brought it to the forefront, like him or hate him. He's got people talking about it. He's got issues out there forcing him to talk about him, and so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, he sure has, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, whether you can just think he's a buffoon and he's rude or whatever, or you can really like him, as a lot of people do. I don't have any real feelings one way or the other. I think I have about the same take on President Trump as I had on Governor Schwarzenegger.
Well spoken.
Let it go at that. I just never seemed to quite fit. So, Jeff, we've been talking about things in the city of Anderson, and we did talk about the Rays thing, because I think that, you know, I don't believe that if we're honest with the people and lay the facts out there, they're getting real good service down there. I think the citizens of Anderson don't have any complaints with the people that are representing them now. If they're heard, if they come to the city council meetings.
You bet.
I'm super impressed and glad to be back involved a little bit. I kind of hesitated about jumping back into the position on the fire board down there. But I think the city of Anderson is well positioned to do really great things in the near future.
We're getting that enthusiasm we need in our community, getting people back involved and knowing that we want people involved. And going back to the pay raise a little bit, it also should be noted that we're very efficient with what we try and do with staffing. I have a lot of positions where we actually use a private contractor or consultant on a part-time basis. We do that a lot in our engineering. We do very little design out of our engineering department because it's really one person. And so we'll use local contractors and consultants on a part-time, as-needed basis. But also, like in our planning department, we have Jim Hamilton from A-Plan. He comes in 2 or 3 days a week to fulfill those needs. Rather than employ somebody full-time, we don't truly have that workload. So where maybe that's been done in the past, we're trying to make sure we're as efficient as possible as a private business is. Now, we have a lot of things that are mandated on us and, you know, makes it a little tougher, but we still should be making that effort. And so we do a lot of that, and I think that's also a very important aspect of what we do.
Well, I think that's important, and we've got a new arrangement going between the city of Anderson and the Anderson Fire Protection District where, you know, you've got when somebody comes into the city to build or replace things, do remodels and what have you, the fire department plays a role in that because
yes,
the fire marshal has to get involved.
Yeah, they have their whole plan review.
Yeah, so we didn't talk about that too much yesterday, but let's talk about what we've done as a cooperative effort to make sure that the turnaround time for our developers is as short as it can be.
So for us as a city, when you come to our city, it's important that you know that we know you're there to spend money. So when you come into City Hall, you might be there to pay your water bill, pull an encroachment permit, or maybe you're submitting building plans to enhance our city. So it's important we take care of you. And how can we streamline that and make it as efficient as possible? Now, we don't set the state building code, but we have to adhere it and enforce it. But how can we make it more efficient? So what we've done is we've made a desk and a spot for the fire marshal to be at City Hall. So at least one day a week, he sits there, and it's the same day we've kind of set aside to do most of our plan check. So I have my building official and the fire marshal there together reviewing plans. So we can turn them around in a timely manner and not go from one entity to another with each its own timeline, stretching the process out. And it also allows for conversation to make sure we're giving the right comments back that are clear and concise one time and helping people move their projects forward.
And that's such a breath of fresh air because everybody out there knows how often you go to one department and they give you a whole list of this is what you got to do, boom, boom, boom. You get that all done. You take it back. Then it goes to another desk. And half of what you did the first time you really didn't need to do, but you do need to do a whole bunch of other stuff. And by the way, I disagree with this guy about what you need here. You need a different. And it's very frustrating to the public.
But listening to our business owners and our developers, one of the things that really irks me is that, well, I turned my plans in, I got them back, and I turn them back in with the corrections, and now you have new comments. We can't do those kind of things.
Get one bite at the apple.
Yeah. Well, we need to be delivering quality service. And so how do we do that? So these are some of the things we've done to try and enhance that process to show people, come to Anderson, we'll help you with your project, we want you here in town, and it's like your caller said, we have the I-5 frontage space available for that development, and we're fortunate in that realm. And so, you know, I-5 runs through the heart of our town, how do we take advantage of it?
And I can't see, this has been I've been involved in this for a lot of years, and it had to be one of my biggest frustrations of how can it take as long as it takes to process a set of plans. And I know what happens. I mean, they sit on somebody's desk, in the inbox for 4 or 5 days. Then they actually make the desk and they work on it for 20 minutes. And then they go into an outbox where they sit for 4 or 5 days. And then they go to another desk. And basically what, there's maybe 10 minutes of work in the whole damn thing, and it took 2 weeks to get back to the person that said it, or 2 months.
Well, I think government,
or 2 years. And it doesn't have to be that
way.
No,
it doesn't. Government's really got in this path of technology, too, and we'll buy a program to track all this. But tracking it doesn't make it faster.
That's right.
And so we've really stepped back and said, how do we improve what we're doing as it's related to our customer? And so that's what we've done with the fire marshal. He's over there sharing his wisdom, checking the plans at the same time. They're not getting lost between buildings, you know, all those kind of things. So it's complementing the operation now instead of hindering it. And that's really important to us, Trish. You know, there are times, I will admit, if we have a big project come through, we do have to send plans out to a consultant. We only have so much capacity in the city, but that doesn't mean we aren't diligent with what we do with it.
But that's saving money for the taxpayer by not having somebody sitting there with no work to do.
Yes.
When there isn't time.
Yes.
So we're going to take a break and we'll be back.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling system, warranties, guarantees, 7 days a week, and 24-hour service. Alliance Heating and Air, call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Space Available. When Whitney, a Tri-Counties Bank teller, noticed property owner Roberta Savelli depositing rent checks, a little bell went off. She thought Roberta might want to learn about the commercial lending programs available at Tri-Counties Bank. So she walked Roberta over and introduced her to Ken Rory, a Tri-Counties Bank business relationship manager. After a thorough review, Ken and his astute loan team discovered better financing options for her rental properties and saved Roberta a bundle in loan payments, increasing her cash flow and allowing her to acquire more properties. Signs point to a thriving future. Commercial real estate financing, cash management services, space to grow. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank, service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 458732.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Join us at 605-4567 if you've got a comment you'd like to make, or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. This is Trish Clark, and you're right, it is Friday, but I'm still here. So we got a phone call. We're going to jump into the phone lines here. And Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Trish. How are you?
Well, I'm well, thank you.
Well, as we talked yesterday, I wanted to clarify what happened in Trinity County.
We're talking state of Jefferson for those people that don't know what we're talking about out there.
Yes.
Okay.
And so what happened actually is that what we were going to do was simply go into public comment in the meeting on Tuesday and go in there and basically let the Board of Supervisors know that the people in the County of Trinity had signed a support statement to separate from the state of California due to lack of representation, and their remedy being creating the state of Jefferson. We had enough signatures. We had 51% of the people who voted in the last gubernatorial race. That's what we based our numbers on. We were going to go in there and just let the Board of Supervisors know that we were going ahead with the declaration already. We had already had one made up for the people. We had one with the description, the physical description of the county. We were having it notarized, et cetera, and then to turn it into the Secretary of State. We were going in there to inform them, yet when we walked in, we found out we were on the agenda, which was surprising. And as you know, Trish, when you speak in public comment, you cannot speak to something that is already on the agenda, so you have to wait for the agenda item to come up. Well, the agenda item came up, and two people from the county of Trinity spoke, and Mark Baird spoke, and they let the Board of Supervisors know what was going on, that we were doing the declaration without them because they had hedged for over a year. And basically, if they wanted to join us, that would be great, but there's no need to. When the discussion would start on where their county is, and we talked with the assemblyman and the senator we're talking with in Sacramento, they would not represent the people. The people would represent the people with two people they would pick to speak with the legislative body. So when that happened, we expressed to them what we were doing. When that happened, Keep It California was there, and Kevin Hendrick from Del Norte County, who is the chair of the Democratic Central Committee there, had brought a resolution called Staying with California. Now, this resolution was not presented to the public 72 hours before, prior. It was not even on the agenda. What was on the agenda was to vote on a declaration for the state of Jefferson. Yet they passed this resolution. Now, there were many things that happened in this, even though that's a moot point, because we've already got the declarations, we've had them notarized, we've had them signed, and they're in our hot little hands to take down to the Capitol. So really and truly, it's a misnomer that Trinity County is not in. Trinity County is in as far as the discussion.
It's just the people, not the elected board.
Pardon me?
It's just the people, not the elected board.
Which is, we're covered under not only Article, not only the First Amendment, our right to redress grievances, but in fact, that's what the Declaration of Independence was.
Yeah.
But also under Article 1, Section 2 of the California Constitution, where when our rights are being obstructed and our voting rights, our representation is being obstructed, we have a right to change the California Constitution. So, you know, really and truly, this is about the people. The boards of supervisors really don't have a say. It's nice to have them. And we've got eight of them, great people, eight counties that have done this. Now, also in Colusa, the two largest cities, the city of Colusa, 5-0 in a declaration in support of the state of Jefferson, and you're hearing this first, and the city of Williams, Tuesday night, 4-1. That's 3/4 of the population of the county of Colusa.
There you go. Well, and you know, here's the deal. Trinity County, there's more to that story than we're going to find out here. And they can't vote on a resolution that's not on the agenda. My city manager's sitting here going, "That can't do that." So we all know that. And, you know, that neither here nor there. I think the state of Jefferson's moving forward. Thank you, Terry, and all the people that are involved with you. Thanks for the update, because I think that it's moving forward. With or without the Board of Supervisors in all of these counties, including Shasta, I can't even begin to start talking about their actions in involved with that, because we don't have any clue. They've just decided that all of them have to agree to even talk about it again, isn't it?
Yeah, there has to be three. It has to be a quorum. And I have a question for you, Trish, maybe you could help us with. Now, during public comment, I'm talking about public comment in the Board of Supervisors, can there be dialogue between the board
and public comment, or they're not supposed to comment? What's the rule on that?
Well, they say that we shouldn't comment. You can't make a decision based on something that comes up in the thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
I always took the stance that if I had questions of what they were presenting to me, I felt perfectly free to ask them those questions. And if I had an opinion about what they said, I didn't feel bad offering that as well. But as a board, you can't take action or do anything other than schedule it for a future agenda item.
Great. Okay. And the other question I have for you, so during that three-minute period that you have a right to talk about whatever you want to talk about, there can be dialogue between the board.
If they choose to do that.
And
that's my opinion. I don't know whether that's legal, but it's...
Okay.
Yeah. Dialogue's okay. Direction is not.
There you
okay,
go.
Because I always heard that only the chairman could have that dialogue, but that could be wrong.
Oh, no. I think any, you know, the chairman, I always have to remind people that the chairman of any of these boards, because that's not an elected position, it's an appointed position, or the mayor of our cities, that's an appointed position, and it's really a figurehead position. What you get for being chairman or mayor is the right to run the meetings, cut ribbons, sign paperwork. You have no more authority. You only have the authority as a body, and you have no more authority than any other supervisor.
Sweet. Okay, the other I have two more quick things for you two to bounce off you, if I may. One is that the two cities in Colusa, that's amazing. I mean, the city council is going 4-1 and 5-0. But the thing I wanted to bounce off you is that you know, Keep in California keeps popping their head up. They've got six people on their board. All six of them are in their respective counties, the heads of the Democratic Central Committees. The Democratic Party is helping them with funds. They pumped $50,000 into Del Norte County. The Keep in California group is working with MoveOn.org. And here's my question. If what we're doing with the state of Jefferson is so silly, we're stupid, we don't know anything, the finances aren't going to work, our facts are all wrong, we're just fools, why not leave us to our folly?
Good point.
In the world is the Democratic Party and why in the world is MoveOn.org and these people sending Mr. Kendrick all the way from Del Norte County in a brand new van to speak in front of the Board of Supervisors in Trinity and sending Cindy Ellsmore down to Williams on Tuesday night all the way from Sierra County? Why are they spending all this money if we're just a bunch of fools and this is folly? Why would you ever do that?
I think you've already made your point. You're absolutely right. You're doing something that's irritating them, and I can only encourage you, and we need to move on, but I can only encourage you to keep up the good work.
Anyway, thank you, Trish, for what you do, and thank you, sir, for the hard work you do for your city. So
thank you.
Have a great day, you too.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Okay, so he makes good points.
He sure does.
And the state of Jefferson, I'm supportive of their effort. And I think it's a great idea. We do have lack of representation. We can't argue that under any circumstances. I think it's been recognized for a long time. The state of California is too big to govern. You can't make rules that fit for a population in Los Angeles and a population in Weaverville.
Well, drought restrictions are a very good example of that. Drought restrictions are the same at the Mexico border as they are at the Oregon border, but our water is nowhere the same.
Exactly. And in fact, some communities in Southern California are not even under restriction. And here we are up here.
At 36%.
And we've got the water. I mean, you know.
And I personally went down with the mayor to Sacramento and argued just that point, that you're treating us without looking at our water supply, our sustainability. And because we've made good decisions to be sustainable, we shouldn't be penalized for that. And the city of Anderson, we're the only city here in Shasta County that pulls strictly out of the Redding Groundwater Basin. It is plentiful. It is full today. The studies show that if it didn't rain today forward and the users stayed the same that are there today, there's 60 years of water underneath us. But we've been very sustainable in what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important to know we don't use near the water we used to. When we had all the timber forest things happening, they used as much water, in Anderson as we did as a municipality. So our use is actually half of what it was 20 years ago. And so a lot of those things aren't really looked at. And the other thing is, you know, Lake Shasta is higher today than it was a year ago.
We did have rain. People forget in December, we were flooded in Anderson. And so there's a lot of factors that weren't really considered there, but the restriction's the same from border to border.
And you know, let's delve into that a little bit more, because that really doesn't make any sense. And the impact on drying out orchards and walnut orchards and fruit trees.
Anderson
and,
River Park.
Exactly.
I mean, go look at the soccer fields. We're mandated to do this. We're threatened with a fine of $10,000 a day. And what breaks my heart with that is we have huge community partnerships in Anderson. So between youth soccer and Little League are two I'll highlight today. Little League last year raised money with their kids, various fundraisers, to put sod in the interior of their infield. It's kind of a league rule they're going to. They can't have just dirt infields anymore. They have to have grass infields. So they did a tremendous amount of fundraisers, and then we have to tell them, I'm sorry, we can't water it. So what's that tell the kids that did all this fundraising and all those kind of things? The soccer, if you go down and look at our soccer field in Anderson River Park right now, it looks deplorable.
I thought the other night, I almost cried.
But my hands are tied. And we're coming in at about 30-31% on our reduction, and that's without a lot of watering going on in our town. A 36% reduction is a huge number for our little over 3,000 connections.
Yeah, and we haven't finished this conversation. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we got some more to talk about the water issue.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Cicada Cantina, located at 1691 Hilltop Drive. Cicada is a great place to go out to enjoy great food and drinks with family and friends. Also, Cypress Square Barbershop, located at 2463 Athens Ave in Reading. Give them a call, 244-9478. And also, Tobacco and Brew. Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, is your place for great coffee and more at Espresso Joe's Serving, Caramel Macchiato, and every other coffee you can imagine. Walk next to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. Tobacco and Brew, where veterans always get discounts.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Start your week out right with football tailgate fun at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Overtime Lounge. Every Monday, come on down for some action-packed football and catch your favorite team on six gigantic screens. Win a pair of Raiders tickets, prizes, a spin for $100 or nothing, or $599 kickoff for cash. Nowhere else in town offers this. More games, more ways to win, more prizes, more football fun. Grub on our stadium snack menu, half off until the end of halftime, plus dollar PBR drafts. For details, log on to WindRiver.com. Football is better at the river.
Play our $100,000 pro football promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. It's a fun, easy, and fully automated pick'em style football promotion. Simply swipe your River Club card, make your picks, and collect a receipt with your own weekly picks, prior week's results, and year-to-date standings. Top weekly picks win a share of $500. Plus weekly draws. Top season final winners win a share of $5,000. Earn bonus plays every day. Win 100 grand. For official rules and details, log on to winriver.com. Football is better at the river.
Okay, and welcome back to this final segment of Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com or give us a call if you've got something you want to talk about at 605-4567. I want to remind you just quickly that on Saturday there's a Diabetes Eat Right, Live Well, Dr. Sandu at Gold Street Medical Building Room. They're going to be talking from 8:30 a.m. to 12 noon about diabetes and the impact on our community. Good, some good information. We had Dr. Sandu yesterday, but we want to remind you to do that. And on Sunday, Linda Bott is at View 202 with her group. And gosh, if you haven't been there for brunch, you need to take advantage of it. The weather's going to be nice and sunny, and she's there singing from 11 to 1. And great brunch specials, and it's a really good thing, and we're not going to have that many more weekends of really nice weather, so you need to get in there and join her.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Elixir in Reading. It's our firearms dealer of choice when it comes to selecting that new long gun or pistol, having their gunsmith work on our guns, or buying ammo. John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. Give them a call at 222-8222.
Okay, and I want to remind you that this is Trish Clark, and Carl and Linda will be back on Monday. And I've been with you yesterday and today, and we've been talking things in the South County, which is my favorite part of a conversation because that's where I come from, and it's all part of this great county that we live in. So I've got Jeff Kieser, the city manager from the city of Anderson, with me today, and we were talking about water and state of Jefferson and rules that are made that impact everybody in the state of California and how that can't possibly work.
It's an interesting topic. You know, it's an interesting topic for the drought. We have water, but you can go to a desert town and they're out of water. Go figure. You know, somebody built in the desert and doesn't have a sustainable supply.
But they've got golf courses that they're watering and swimming pools that they're filling.
And we're suffering the penalty, though.
Exactly.
And that's a tough one. It really is, because part of what you get when you come to Northern California is a little more lush environment. We do have the heavy winter rains. We do have lakes and rivers and creeks and a very plentiful aquifer in the area. And we have plentiful aquifers around the area. And so that is part of our life up here. And we, you know, on the other hand, we put up with the heat that comes with it and the more severe winter. And so, you know, to take that right away from us and that commodity away from us, or tell us we can't use what we have, that's very tough, because you can see a lot of our terrain has really suffered this summer with those drought restrictions.
Well, and as I think I mentioned earlier on, people don't seem to get the impact of when we let all these lawns go dead, and we let all these the parks, the stuff that has been built down at the Anderson River Park, the soccer fields, baseball fields, money raised. God, I wish I had a nickel for every candy bar I sold to put
right,
in those secret
right.
soccer fields 25, 30 years
really
ago.
It really is a partnership with the public.
Absolutely. And for now, to let all of that grass die and all of that turf go down, and then try to, and then we have to spend the money to put it back.
Right.
Because we're gonna play those sports, and
right.
we're gonna get back at one point. It simply doesn't make any sense to all that. Go.
Well, there's a lot to this. You know, another facet of this is the city of Anderson is also the biggest recycler of water. So every time something goes down your drain at your house, it arrives at the wastewater treatment plant. We treat that water, and then we discharge it back to the Sacramento River. So today versus last year, there's less water in the river because all of your municipalities are recycling less water. So there's actually less water to use downstream with the way the current drought restrictions work.
Yeah, we go back to the thing that you cannot make a rule that's going to work well in Los Angeles and in Shasta County.
It doesn't work with raising my kids. It probably doesn't work well on a statewide basis either.
That's exactly right. So the state of Jefferson has some appeal for a lot of us for a lot of reasons. Final thoughts about the city of Anderson. We didn't get into the housing.
But we do have some exciting things going there.
We do, some great new homes.
I mean, a lot of publicity several years ago about what was called the Vineyards at one time, ran out of water supposedly. Well, that's all been sold and redeveloped. It's now called Skyview. Great things going on up there. If you haven't driven up behind Walmart on Pleasant Hills Drive, take some time, drive up there. Fantastic subdivision. The other one that's really moving hot right now is Homewood Subdivision. That kind of is just west of Camping World. For the first time in years, they're selling lots ahead of them being built on. And so that's a great sign of economic recovery. And so I think right now there's 8 lots sold, and they're building on 12. So just a lot of neat things going on, Trish, and it's just exciting to see.
So I somebody said to me just last night, you know, when they had just moved up here, and the real estate people, and I want to tell you people this, I've heard, not the first time I've heard it, they were kind of looking at, and they said, well, I see some really good deals in the Anderson area, and the real estate market that they were dealing with was discouraging them from, oh, you don't want to move down to Anderson. And I don't know where that ever came from or why that thought is. I've lived there since 1977, and I'm just here to tell you that Anderson's a great place to live.
Well, and we're really trying to make sure we're a quality family community. And you've heard Chief talk, you've heard me talk. Those are the things that are important to us. They're important to our electeds, they're important to our employees, they're important to our community. Come down and see what we have to offer.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Molly on the phone.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, one of the questions that I had, the Sykes Reservoir, the intention was that anytime Sacramento opens up the gate and the water comes down into the river for the salmon, it will be recaptured in the Syke, and then, I'm saying it wrong, the Sykes?
The Sykes Reservoir, yeah.
Okay, and it's going to be recaptured and then sold back. What does your guest say about that idea? Is he for or against?
Well, you know, that's kind of outside my realm, but California needs water storage. Where, you know, so I, as a project, it's probably a good idea, but I think it's also important we get the facts out there about the water. For example, out of the 100% of the water allocation we have, the public's only using 20% of it. That other 80% is either going to ag or environmental issues. And so there's a lot of water in California. It's maybe how it's managed, but I do think California needs storage.
Okay, and then my second question, and I didn't give this to your call screener, the ag. How can they keep planting the trees? Are we making money off of that so we don't care about the water?
Oh, I think there's no question that California feeds the world, and I think that there's we have got to protect, from my point of view, our agricultural community. Shasta County is one of the largest shippers of strawberry plants in the world. We have all kinds of industry. Get a copy from the department or the ag commissioner of the produce and stuff that comes out of Shasta County every year.
I know you're running short of time, but we're the number one. We don't outdo Driscoll out of Watsonville.
I'm pretty sure Shasta County is
wow. Driscoll,
you know,
has that market.
Well, I think Driscoll's up here too in parts of Shasta County.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I'll let you go. Thank you very much. Very interesting show today, Trish.
Thank you very much, Molly.
Uh-huh. Right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's important to note that the environmental issues, boy, this is a topic for a whole show, because Jeff just made a really interesting point. Reiterate what you said about the 100%.
So out of that 100% of the allocation of water available, only about 20% of that water goes to population needs, the water we drink, the water we have in our households. That other 80% is ag and environmental issues. If you've kind of been following the drought, you've seen several high releases of water that may affect less than 10 fish. But none of that's been cut back. But we're being asked to actually take an economic hardship with killing off our sod or our grass, our parks, our trees, things in our household. So this is a way bigger issue than maybe what's just on the surface.
Oh, it's a huge issue. And unfortunately, we live in the state of California, which very definitely, and we can't argue, is a total liberal, environmentally driven state. We got to be better and cleaner and in everything we do, from the time when we did the gas reformulation and all of the cost. And look at our gas prices, for goodness sakes. I have friends in the East Coast who are just tormenting me on a daily basis I bought gas for $1.49 or $1.69. We'll never see that.
But I think it's important. The clean stuff's good. We want it for our kids, but we need to do it right.
It's called moderation.
When we put MTB in the gas, that didn't help things. What's the cause and effect? Are we evaluating things before we move them forward?
We're absolutely not. We're too much emphasis on the environmental part of an equation. Unproven science in so many cases where we've spent so much money. I mean, the timber industry, look what happened with that and a silly little spotted owl.
Well, it all goes back to making good decisions.
Exactly.
Local level, local government, state government, and in Anderson, we're trying. We're trying to make good decisions. Just real quick, we have a great partnership going with the fire department. We've talked about expanding Anderson, something they're doing. They've ordered a ladder truck. There's one in Reading. We'll have one in Anderson soon. So that will help our development. It also makes, you know, response better for our citizens, more comfortable knowing we have modern equipment in Anderson to fight those fires. And you know, the ladder can also be used for a river rescue or other things, too. So just lots of great things happening down there, too.
Well, you know, and you're exactly. I spoke with the Reading Republican women earlier this week, and one of the things I tried to say, you know, gosh, you can look at all the things that are happening in our United States, and it's not pretty. We're in a lot of trouble at a lot of levels, and the way we take it back, you don't solve these issues overnight, but my final words to them and my final words to you today are simply going to be, we do this one community at a time. We take it back, starting at the local level, go back to what our framers of our Constitution had in mind when they created this country. And this government was supposed to work from the ground up. And we do that one community at a time, one elected official. Elect good people in your communities. Be a part of your community. Take back one community at a time, and that's how we change what's happening. Jeff, I thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, I appreciate the invite and love coming up and talking about what we have going on in Anderson. We're a great place doing great things, and if you haven't been down lately, come on down and see what we have going on.
And Carl and Linda will be back on Monday, and I thank you for listening for the last 2 days, and wish everybody in Shasta County a great weekend.
Currently 68 degrees out there, a high of 89 today, low 62. Tomorrow's going to be high of 96, and then we'll be in the 90s pretty much, well, it looks like for the beginning of the week, and then dropping down to the 80s.
Back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. They haven't had much to cheer about until now. Migrants determined to reach Europe flood into Croatia after border police allowed them to pass. This Syrian doctor says a small Croatian border town where he is has clearly been overwhelmed by the surge of refugees.
There are at least 700 people here. We don't know how many are there in the camp left. People are still pouring in through Šid, the town in Serbia.
The Croatian Prime Minister says his country has witnessed 14,000 migrants in just the past 2 days. Bo Bergdahl's attorney says the Army sergeant will not testify at a hearing in Texas, a hearing to determine if he should face a court-martial for leaving his post in Afghanistan 6 years ago. Attorney Eugene Fidel says a lengthy sworn statement that Bergdahl...